Before I get started on the project, I'll acknowledge all of my cooperators, as others have. Of course, I'm Bill Evans. I'm a vegetable researcher in Mississippi. I do a lot of soil and crop fertility work. Vasily Servin is our postdoctoral associate on the project. All the work you see wouldn't have gotten done without his diligence and just all-around hard work. Guihong Bi is our ornamental horticulturist, research horticulturist on the project. Dr. Gu is our extension horticulturist on the project. And Drs. Hood and Randy Little, Ken Hood and Randy Little, they are the ag economists on the project. And I'm at Crystal Springs, Mississippi, which is about 30 miles south of Jackson, Mississippi, which is the intersection of I-55 and I-20. We're about 3 hours north of New Orleans, to give you guys a better landmark than those. So what are high tunnels? Well, high tunnels are basically unheated greenhouse structures, and we're farming on the ground inside that tunnel. In the case of ours, ours have polyethylene covers, and we irrigate them because we have a roof over the top, so you have to irrigate them to get anything to grow. But most of them, like ours, have no mechanical heating and no mechanical cooling like you'd find in a greenhouse structure, and no artificial lighting. Now, of course, there's a continuum, and anyone can do anything they want with these high tunnels, but to give you an idea of what we were doing, this is what we did. The goal of the project was to create a system of tunnels and cover system that would produce frost-sensitive crops for most or all of the year in USDA hardiness zones 7 and 8. In our zone, our maximum low temperature, that means the lowest it usually gets, is about 10 degrees Fahrenheit. So we're looking at minus 12, minus 14 Celsius. The inspiration for this was Chinese solar greenhouses, where they have a big thermal mass wall on the north side of this unheated greenhouse-like structure, like a high tunnel. And then they use a series of intricate cover systems, including straw blankets and all kinds of things. And they were able, in this article I read that inspired me to write the proposal from Maynard et al., they were able to grow watermelons in February and produce watermelons in February at our latitude, our Mississippi latitude, but they were doing it in China. So that was the inspiration for this. The objective was to test the combination of high tunnels and internal row covers for the production of these warm season crops. We can't go to all the steps that the Chinese are able to use. They have miles of these things, by the way. Our tunnels in this project were arch-type greenhouse structures with 6-foot sidewalls, and a 14-foot ridge height, 96 feet long and 30 feet wide. The door is about a 10-foot high door. And we can open and raise those any amount we want to ventilate the house any amount we want. Inside the tunnels, we had secondary row covers, and these aren't just small tunnels. Really, these are about 5 feet tall because we're growing maturing crops in there. We're not just using them for the beginning of the crop, we're trying to grow all through it. You can see it was a cold day. You see our two workers there. There we go. There's our technician, Melody Tomaszewski, and there's Dr. Servin there. The row covers. This is polyethylene, and then we have a spun bond polypropylene. You guys know spun bond polypropylene, or the Agribond 70. You know that as the stuff on the bottom of your box spring at home. That's that unwoven material on the box spring. This is a heavier weight than that, but it's the same idea. And then frost blanket, this frost blanket material is the same, also the same material, but it's more like a felt. It's much thicker and denser, and you cannot see through it even partially like you can through the Agribond. And then Masterscape ground cover, we saw another speaker a few minutes ago using some ground cover. Same idea as what she was doing in Utah. That's a woven black material. In our case, it was heavy gauge black material and felted on one side. We thought we would get a little more reduced air movement there with a little felting on the one side. So those were the four materials we tested, and then we, of course, had an untreated control. We placed little thermocouples down about 10 centimeters down in the soil. Through this, we drove a 2-inch core into the soil in the beds, and we goes up to data loggers from the Hobo system of data loggers that are manufactured by Onset over in Massachusetts. We recorded those in each and every plot, and we also had an individual recorder outside recording that in bare ground soil plots outside the sawmills. So we had that too. For the actual horticulture of it, we used a parthenocarpic tomato plant called Legend. It's an Oregon-based Oregon State program, came out of the Oregon State program. Parthenocarpic, of course, means that it doesn't need insects or pollination, rather, to set. And in the tunnels in the winter, we don't have insects moving in and out because the tunnels are usually closed. And we didn't want to go through the trouble of what they do in greenhouse tomatoes, where they have a vibrating wand and they can actually vibrate the flowers, each individual flower, to set the fruit. And we didn't want to put bumblebees in there, which they also do in greenhouses, because if you do that in a high tunnel and you have to open it up for a day, your bees might leave. So that wouldn't work for us. So we did the parthenocarpic tomato. With two planting dates, the 1st and the 22nd of October, and the plots had about had 10 plants per plot, and the plants were 15, or rather were 18 inches apart in the row. We had a very detailed venting protocol for the tunnel so that we could have this exact system. Basically, if the air temperature was going to be below 50 degrees, we closed the tunnel. If the air temperature was forecast to be below 40 degrees, we closed the internal covers. These were removed in the morning if it was warm enough in the tunnel. There was a day or two when we left the covers on all day long because it never got warmed up enough in the tunnel, and it was better to have plants not getting light for that day than it would be for them to freeze to death on that day, or so our theory went. But that detailed protocol will be on the recorded presentation, and I'm happy to talk about it more later. Some of the results in discussion, we actually got flowering and fruiting on our tomatoes, and here are the mean, minimum, and average soil temperatures for basically most of December of last year. And if I can get my arrows going over here, I'll try and explain the graph on this first one, and then all of them will follow in the exact same way. The outdoor temperatures in the soil are over on the left side of the bar, and then we have no cover here, the polyethylene, the agribond, the frost blanket, and the masterscape, and that will follow on the following slides in the same order. The blue bars will always be the maximum soil temperature for that day, or for that period. The minimum will be in red, and the mean will be in green. When we look at this, we can see that obviously we have significant elevation in the maximum soil temperature at 10 centimeters deep. These are statistically different numbers, and there's, I don't know if you read that in the back, that's at 53 degrees roughly Fahrenheit, and this is 60, 62, so we're roughly getting a 10-degree increase there. When we look at the mean soil temperature, again, the same idea. Although the absolute value is different, we actually here there's a slight increase from not having an internal cover to having the internal covers, and no differences among the internal covers. Unfortunately, on this particular slide, for this particular set of days, the difference between the mean in the covers, with the covers and without the covers inside the tunnel, is not statistically different, even though numerically it's an interesting number. Same with the minimum temperatures here for December. The minimum temperature here in December, we have a significant increase in the minimum temperature, soil temperature, from outside to inside, but there's not enough difference here. There was enough variability within the under the covers not to be able to show that as a significant difference with the internal cover. When we look, though, and we get into the really coldest days, January 5th was our first really cold day. It was about 23 degrees that morning outside. And when we look there, we see on that particular day, we had a high temperature outside in the low 40s of the soil temperature. Inside, we were still up in the mid-50s for the maximum. When we look at the mean temperature, we had a spike inside the tunnels of almost 10 degrees. Some of them are actually over 10 degrees. But when we look at the minimum temperature that day, we're down here below 37. But then inside the tunnel, without the cover, we get up to about 42, and then we add another degree or two, and these are statistically different than this. So on this coldest day, we were seeing the benefit from those covers and protecting that soil from the cold temperature. We had some frost damage on the tomatoes, you can see that, but the crop is still viable under there. That crop is about 10 days maybe away from first harvest, and had I planted them earlier in the fall, which we are doing this year, I probably would have had ripe tomatoes on time. But we had the coldest 3 days in Jackson, Mississippi history the following few days. From the 8th to the 10th, well, that was great. I want to make the mistakes so the growers don't make the mistakes. I want to get the data, and I want to have my crop die so that they don't have to have theirs die. That's one of the great things about this. The soil temperature, though, way down there at 10 centimeters deep in Mississippi, we got down to 38.4. So we're getting pretty, that's the high. The low, and it's hard for me to read on the screen, so I'm going to read off my page here. The low, the average low during those 3 days was 35.6, so almost getting down to freezing down there at 10 centimeters. And that's a pretty deep frost for Mississippi. That would be pretty deep. In fact, on these days, on the 10th, we were able to walk on the ice in the shaded area of the pond. And I never thought I'd be able to safely walk on ice in Mississippi. And I'm from up north, so that was very interesting. But the bottom line is, during these days, we still got significant increase in the minimum temperatures, in these minimum soil temperatures, from both the tunnel, and we had another incremental but significant increase from the covers, but it didn't matter what cover we used. All of those covers were similarly effective in elevating the temperature a couple of 2 or 3 or 4 degrees, depending. This illustrates all the other three charts in a different manner, just to give some illustrations. These five columns on the right side here are the average elevation in temperature due to the treatment. And if we look here, the minimums, here's the outside temperature here and the none. The internal temperatures, the minimums were elevated of the soil between 6 degrees without a cover to 7 or 8 degrees with the cover. When we look at that one really cold day, the minimums were elevated about 6 degrees, a little less than 6 degrees by the tunnel, and almost over 8 to almost 10 degrees with the covers. But again, those four covers, that's not a statistically different number among those four there. So, and during those very cold days, the same thing. We had a minimum temperature of 35.6 in the soil. With the high tunnel, we elevated that 6, and then we elevated a couple more degrees with the covers. And so the cover added more. When we go quickly to the growing degree days, in crops and tomatoes, they have a base 50 growing degree days for air temperature. That means that they won't grow, statistically, they won't grow to any import above when the temperature is below 50 degrees. So to get a growing degree day, we take the mean temperature for the day, we subtract 50 from it, and that's your growing degree days for the day. So if the soil, or if the soil was 51 degrees that day for a mean, and we're doing base 50, then we have one growing degree day for that day. If the soil was 51 that day and we're doing the base 40, we have 11 growing degree days for that day, soil growing degree days, which are different than air growing degree days. So you see, for the base 50, we're getting almost no growing degree days in this period from the 3rd of December through the 10th of January, almost none. We only got 41, that's less than one a day. When we look at 40, which we would use for something like lettuce or something, one of the cooler crops, we're getting a couple of 300 there. When we add the tunnel, we're getting almost a fourfold increase, or over a fourfold increase in base 50 growing degree days, and more than a doubling in the base 40 growing degree days. And then we add just incrementally, we're just adding a little bit more with those internal covers. So the real critical temperature was, or the real critical value is the high tunnels, and whether we're going to find any strong value in the covers because they're so labor intensive, I don't know yet. We're still working on that. So, but our general conclusions, a high tunnel environment positively influenced the temperatures. The tunnels and internal covers altered the soil temperatures as we suspected. But no treatment provided adequate frost protection for that really cold snap. And the secondary cover influences were reflected more in the average and minimum temperatures than in the high temperatures. And my acknowledgments, this was a NEPA grant. We appreciate their support, and we appreciate the staff support that we got from our two locations. And if there's time, I'll entertain a question.
Do you have time for a question? Is Muhammad here?
The thermocouples were placed 10 centimeters. The question was, where did I measure soil at the soil surface where the air and the soil meet? I did not. All the thermocouples for the soil were measured at 10 centimeters below the soil surface. We did have another, and I presented a separate set of data at the Horticulture Society on the air temperature. Actually, Dr. Servin presented that. And those were set at 50 centimeters above the soil surface. So we didn't have that. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I was wondering if the soil surface, if that temperature would be elevated.
Yeah.
And how much compared to the other?
That's a good question. We were kind of... You raise a great question, and we're going to be looking at some of that with some of the cooler season crops. My failure in my tomatoes is and has really inspired us to, it's great for scientific theory, but now we've got to get back and see what we can do for the growers. And your question is a good one. What is happening there at the 0 to 20 centimeter range, where we're going to be growing lettuces and radishes and brassica greens and things like that? That's a great question.
We're going to extrapolate this to 40 degrees north, where I live, Fargo. Is it possible you think to have this set up where you would just let the soil temperature stay slightly above or keep it above freezing so we could use things in the spring for, let's say we had to do a food security sort of mentality. Could we raise vegetable crops sooner if we let the covers on all winter? And assuming that the wind is blowing.
The question is, can we use the tunnels and or the covers to keep the soil temperature warm enough to grow crops in a place like North Dakota at 40 degrees north all through the winter? The prime value of these tunnels across the world, and of course, I didn't talk about this in the beginning, but Europe has tens of thousands of acres of this. China has a million acres of these things. So there's a lot of them, and we're still in our infancy in the United States. The North is ahead of us in the South. But yes, I think theoretically it's possible. Wind is a problem because you lose some of the, especially if you have a windy night or anything to draw the heat out away from that plastic night. But the Chinese are able to do this on our latitude, and it just depends on how many layers we want to put in. Another thing that some growers are doing, and especially the northern growers, and NRCS just last week revised their protocols for their funding of their high tunnels to allow this. The northern growers will, on the very coldest nights, they'll stick a little space heater in there. And they won't go full bore, but they'll stick a little space heater in there. But we also want to try some reflective materials, too, and some more insulating materials. And it just depends on how many square feet, how many dollars per square foot we want to spend, and how valuable your crop is. But thank you.
Any other further questions?